good day, greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is again Brother Edgardo from the Philippines ministering to you the Word of God in this platform, the Daily Devotion. I hope you are doing well and great today. Now, let us continue with our little subject, the unsearchable ways in judgment of God. Amen. Yesterday, we talked about the laws in the Bible characters, which and who reflect our calling as Gentile bride. And we saw our lives being reflected in one of the laws, and we beheld our calling in the lives of different Bible characters like Esau and Jacob, and in the story of Ephraim and Manasseh. Amen. Now, today, as I have said, we will look into David, and we will see how God ever planned our salvation through the Messiah and his human lineage. Amen. You know, if we are to think first on the genealogy of the Messiah without looking into the Bible, first, we would think that God should select a genealogy, a descent of the Messiah with people whose records was without spot and blameless, you know. Without the knowledge of the Bible, one would think that the coming of the Son of God should be a history of people, a history of clean people, that Jesus Christ should descend from a good and honorable genealogy. Yes, but it was not so. If we are going to read the Bible, it was not so. We can read Jesus' genealogy in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke. Yes, but we will just read the book of Matthew. And so we will read the book of Matthew chapter 1, even starting verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. This is what we can read. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. That's what we can read. And jumping directly to David in verse 6, here we can read verse 6, and Jesse begot David a king, and David a king begot Solomon of her who had been Urias. Amen. Of her who had been Urias. I repeat, David the king begot Solomon of a woman who had been Urias, who had been Urias' wife. Amen. Now, do you know this, the scripture? Solomon, which was part of the genealogy or descent of Jesus, the Christ, was a son of David to Urias' wife. Now, why David got a son of another man's wife? Why David got a son of Urias' wife? That question, brothers and sisters, could be answered by reading the scripture in Second Samuel chapter 11. We will start with reading in verse 1, Second Samuel, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? Verse 4, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Oh, brothers and sisters, how shameful was this act committed by David, brothers and sisters. And do you know who was Uriah the Hittite? He was only a committed soldier of David. Now here, let us continue reading in the following verse, in the next verse, verse 6, for us to be enlightened more. And David sent Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. Here, David wanted Uriah to go down and sleep with her wife. And we do not know his intention, but maybe David wanted that Uriah would think that the child that would be born in later months was Uriah's child, and David's shameful act would be covered. That might be David's intention. So he said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. But brothers and sisters, look at the following verse. In verse 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, of his Lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? And why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thou soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Amen. I will not do this thing. Can you see that, brothers and sisters? Can you see how loyal, how faithful, how devoted was this soldier Uriah to David, to his master Joab, and to the kingdom of Israel? Uriah was supposed to be a man to be crowned, a soldier that deserves a pleasant reward. Amen. But what did David do to him? what did David do in return to his loyalty, in return to his faithfulness? He was as if stabbed at the back, brothers and sisters. Amen. And because Uriah did not heed to what David said, and his David's plan A was not successful, then he was planning to implement this plan B. And what's that plan B? Let us continue reading in verse 12, 2 Samuel 11, verse 12. And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David called him, verse 13, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servant of his Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning, verse 14, that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what can you say about David in this act he did to his soldier, Uriah? For me, he was not just committing a crime. He was not just transgressing the law of God. He was committing iniquity against Uriah. Yes. A very shameful act he did just to cover up his transgression on a woman. But this was not hidden from God, from the eyes of God, brothers and sisters. You know, the story in the Bible, you know this, that God used a prophet Nathan, for David to face the consequences of his action. And in directly speaking, their son, their firstborn son with Bathsheba, died as a consequence. Amen. But because Uriah died in that war, we read, the relationship between Bathsheba and David continued. And so Solomon was born. Amen. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, let's move up to verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. I repeat, the Lord loved him. Amen. David and Bathsheba got a son again, and they named him Solomon. And what? The Bible said, and the Lord and Jehovah loved him. Oh my. In here, brothers and sisters, this is what I've told you, that if we are to think what kind of genealogy Jesus Christ should have, we would think that his genealogy should be clean, blameless, and without malice. But here, we could say of all the wives of David, maybe there were honorable women David had, virtuous women Or maybe we could question, why not his original wife? I mean, the first one, you know, or any other else. Or others may question, why should it be David? Why should it be coming from David? Why should it be coming from Uriah's wife, you know? And but yeah, that's what people could think, brothers and sisters. But the Bible said again in the book of Romans, for us to remember our first scripture reading, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 and 34. Romans 11, 33, 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? This is where I want to lead you to. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? For who hath been his counselor? Who can teach him knowledge? Who can teach him decision? No one, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. So that was it. That was one of the genealogies of Jesus Christ. How are we to question God in putting up those genealogies? Amen. He loved Solomon. Amen. As he loved Jacob. Amen. Now, more to this, brothers and sisters, is the David's descent also, which David was the son of Jesse, Jesse being the son of Obed, and Obed being the son of Boaz. Amen. And let us read Luke 3:32 in the genealogy of Jesus Christ again. Luke 3 verse 32 in Jesus Christ genealogy. The son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, and the son of Nashon. Now, here we know David is traced to Boaz. And we know Boaz was married to a Moabitess woman, a Gentile who became a widower by her late Jewish husband during that time. And I think you know the story. There were two Moabitess women who was married by the sons of Naomi. We have Orpha and we have Ruth. Orpha, after her husband died, kissed his mother-in-law and left. But Ruth remained at the side of Naomi. And yeah, she said, your people will be my people. Your God shall be my God. Amen. Oh, what a heart, brothers and sisters. She has loved the people of God. And not only that, she loved the people of God, she also loved Yahweh in her life. She has loved God in her life. So she wanted to stay. Amen. How similar Ruth be to the Gentile bride. Can you see that, brothers and sisters? Can you see the enthusiasm? Can you see the love, the joy that was with Ruth? That is also in you. Your enthusiasm, your love, your joy is somewhat like that of Ruth's. Amen? Amen. And with this story, brothers and sisters, we could understand that the Gentile bride, the Gentile elect, is already in the plan of God. Amen. It is already in the mind of God. But this was hidden from the Jews. Although it was written and reflected in the different lives of Bible characters, but this plan of God of getting a Gentile elect was hidden from the Jews, amen, from Israel. Amen. Oh, so we can see here, brothers and sisters, how unsearchable are the ways and judgment of God. Amen. Amen. Now, tomorrow, we'll talk more on Bible stories, Bible characters, one of which will be David again, and the other one will be King Solomon and King Hiram. And let us be more, should I say, personal in this last episode of this little thought that we have. What will we do when things around us seems unclear? What will we do when, after all years of our lives spent in serving God, in worshiping the Lord, in this message, and yet one day you will wake up in a situation you expect not to happen? What will you do? Amen. So let us be more personal. Let us think personally and relate this subject in our lives. So yeah, more on this we're gonna deal tomorrow. Today, stay blessed, brothers and sisters, because God bless you all. Amen. Amen.